Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders podcast for Tuesday, October 26th. Game one of the World Series is tonight. The Braves and Astros are the matchup, and we are going to break it down with a guy who had the privilege of pitching in both leagues this year, Rich Hill. Rich finished with the New York Mets, started with the Tampa Bay Rays. Were those your only two stops this year, Rich? I know you usually have a lot of them. I kind of tend to forget.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Sweeney. Those were the only two this year, and it was disappointing, I would say, to get traded from Tampa, just because, you know, obviously we had such a good chemistry, and obviously they showed to continue to have that during the rest of the season and then into the postseason. Going to New York and going to a city that I love and always enjoyed, you know, coming there as a visitor and or being part of the Yankees for, you know, a brief stint is something that was, you know, unexpected, but it was definitely, you know, with welcoming arms, and I loved playing in front of those fans in New York.
Hey, let's get into the World Series in a minute, but since we talked a little bit about Tampa Bay here, you started the year with the Rays. I think the big question is, how do they keep doing what they're doing? And did they run out of pitching? Is, you know, they traded you, so I mean, is that part of the reason why they didn't get farther?
I think, you know, Sweeney, I think that a lot of teams, they're successful because they've been able to get guys that have either been disregarded by other organizations and have tremendous potential in something that they may not have been using to their advantage as a player. Whether that be bat to ball skills, you know, their ability to run, their ability to, you know, throw a certain pitch and execute that pitch more often than not, where they weren't really using that pitch in another organization. So maybe they were undervalued in one organization, whereas Tampa sees something and says, hey, if we can get this guy and we can get him to believe in that pitch or in that certain swing or the type of player that we think he can be, he's going to thrive here in Tampa. And you've seen it year after year. I mean, Kevin Cash has done a great job with, you know, the front office in Tampa Bay in the way they've been able to win the last 5 years that he's been there. So it's been extremely impressive to see the run that they've gone on. And I think when you get into the playoffs, it's certainly, you need to have, it comes down to pitching, no doubt about it. And it comes down to starting pitching, it comes down to, because of the depth that you need to go into the game. You can't, you know, I think through 162, the openers, the, you know, coming in and trying to rely a little bit more heavily on the bullpen, I would say it is very difficult because it's such a long stretch. But the stress of the innings is far less greater than what it is in the postseason. So it's almost like every time you're making one pitch in the postseason, it's really like two and a half pitches. So where you run into trouble is really what I've seen in the postseason so far, is that when you have to rely on that bullpen so much. And the other side of it is, when we talk about the third time through the order, you know, you go into a series where it's, you know, 5 to 7 game series, these hitters know the arms that are coming out of the bullpen. So I think it might, you know, dampen that third time through the order a little bit more and actually put a little bit more weight on the starting pitcher to say, hey, we need you to get through the third time, or at least halfway through the third time in the order. We've seen it not really come out to, you know, obviously the best results for certain teams that are relying heavily on the analytics, because in the postseason, it's really about baseball, and it's about what you have on the inside. It's not really about, you know, I mean, talent does come out and play, but it's also about the intensity and the passion that you have for the game that will show.
And I think we kind of unexpectedly saw that with your old team with the Dodgers. You know, here's a pitching rich organization, a pitching rich team. All of a sudden, you get backed into a corner a little bit in one day, and it kind of snowballs on you. And all of a sudden, you're left without choices. You end up with a day where, you know, Max Scherzer does what he does, and it kind of has that effect, as you're talking about, this cumulative effect of 2.5 pitches for every one pitch. Right. And it seems even the richest organizations in pitching, you know, you get 1 or 2 days, it kind of ruins your whole, it ruins your whole postseason.
Yeah, because, and again, the stress that you're putting on the bullpen, you're asking them to, you know, carry a huge workload for, you know, whether the starter goes out there and goes 2 innings. And, you know, we saw it like the matchup that's coming up here in game one with Valdez and Morton. You see Valdez in that first game that he had in the championship series wasn't very good. And then he comes back and I think it was game 5 against the Red Sox. And, you know, I mean, that was really the nail in the coffin was the starting pitcher for Houston, Valdez, going out there and doing what he did and how valuable that is, because it basically gives the bullpen 2 days off going into the World Series, or 3 days off with the extra day. But, you know, because he goes 8, there's a lot of guys that get a day off to rest. So, you know, it's going to be extremely interesting, but I do see that with LA. It was just, you know, unfortunately with Clayton going down, I think that was difficult. And, you know, again, relying heavily on that, on the bullpen, as good as they are. And it doesn't, you know, it just, for some reason in the it is what it is in the postseason. It's an intense environment that, you know, when that time of year comes around, it's the best time to play baseball. Not saying that the 162 aren't, you know, extremely fun and unbelievable, you know, highlights that can be made and memories that can be made from that 162, but you're remembered for what you did in the postseason. And that's something that me as a player, as soon as I get to have more of an opportunity to do that and the good fortune to be able to pitch in a couple World Series, that's the only thing that I think about now is trying to get back there.
And I get to, you know, you and your World Series success and, you know, your individual success in a little bit, and kind of how that breaks down with when you're looking at, you know, how guys have to perform. But I find it kind of interesting that this matchup matches a couple of career baseball men as managers, Brian Snitker and Dusty Baker. And yeah. I hadn't realized till just yesterday when I had to, I looked this up, your 17-year big league career began with Dusty Baker as your manager. Yeah. How do you feel about seeing him in this spotlight now?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, he's all the success that he's had over his career in baseball and the decades and that have been accumulated. I'm sure, you know, he would say, I don't know, it seems like they just go by so quick, just like anything else. But, you know, he was always great to me. And he was very personable as a manager. You know, even after the years playing for him in Chicago and seeing him in other venues, or, you know, when he was doing TV or broadcast and running into him, you know, it was always open arms and you know, we had really good things to talk about. So I'm excited for Dusty, you know, and I hope that, you know, things go the way that he wants. But, you know, it's interesting to look back for me and see that he has never gotten to the, you know, I guess the mountaintop, so to speak, as winning that World Series. So especially with some of the great teams that he's had over the years in San Francisco and in Chicago. But now with Houston, I think, you know, definitely he's shown again too. He's shown even in the recent past years with Washington, being able to lead a team into the postseason and, you know, have great success as a manager. So it's just, again, it's a testament to his ability to, I think as the game has grown, he has also been able to see both sides of it as well. As you can see the analytics side, but then also the baseball side of it. And he is, you know, definitely a real baseball man.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you've played for a bunch of different guys and you've seen all sides of this now with analytically driven organizations and maybe guys who are a little less inclined, but accept its place in the game. Mm-hmm. Is there a perfect style of manager, or is it just somebody who has to, you know, one, have the players, but two, be able to just, you know, embrace all of it without trying to say it's my way or the highway?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Sweeney. It's got to be, you know, the biggest thing that I'm seeing in organizations right now is being able to bridge the gap between the analytic department and the locker room. And we need, you know, that gap and everybody to kind of come together and understand, like, hey, we're all in this together to achieve the ultimate goal of winning a World Series, having a successful season, getting into the playoffs, and then going from there. And again, just a side note, when you get into the playoffs, it's like anything can happen. Somebody could be You know, you get guys that are playing out of position. We're seeing that in this postseason. Where we see Gavin Lux playing center field, who hadn't played. I don't think he played there all year. But again, little things like that, guys batting in certain situations where they would never be batting during the regular season. Pitchers, you know, pitching where they would most normally not be in the situation they're in the postseason. But again, that is to me, that's the baseball side of it. So the other side of it is just having the analytics kind of marry with the baseball type kind of mentality, I guess, where it's, you know, when you have a certain things like a shift and you got to respect that in the postseason, guys are going to be able to, you know, they may have not done it for 162, but if they're trying to hit the ball the other way, and, you know, you see it over and over again where the ball just goes through the shift. It's a little dribbler through the other side. But somewhere in that is, you know, the truth of where we can both come together. And I think that for managers and players, it has to be, you know, kind of a it's got to be a, you know, an agreeable kind of compensation on both sides. That's what I see. And I think that there isn't a perfect solution to it, but definitely being able to talk to each other, you know, and understand that you're on the same team and that we're not trying to put guys in positions to fail. We're trying to put guys in positions to succeed. And, you know, Tampa did a very good job of that, being able to explain that to the player and kind of say, hey, this is why we do things here. This has worked over the last 5 years. Technically it's proven out. So we're not going to, kind of go away from that strategy, which is understandable. But I also think that there are certain times when you have managers like a Dusty Baker where he sees something and you do go on feel, you don't go on facts. So facts don't always play out. And especially in the postseason, when you see guys that, you know, you might have somebody come up to, look what Jock Peterson's been able to do, you know, this postseason. It's been great to watch him, you know, flourish in this postseason. I think that you don't certain things that should be, almost certain on paper don't play out that way in the postseason. So that's what's exciting about it. And I think that we can come together as a whole and find, you know, something where the analytics and the baseball can have the feel and the facts together.
This is more of a bigger picture thing for you, Rich, but you broke into professional baseball in the major leagues at a time when we were still kind of counting 20 game winners, right? You know,
yeah.
And wins still mattered for pitchers. And I think they still do to a degree with the individual pitcher, but you've also been in a number of positions with the teams you've been on in the last few years, analytically driven teams where you're going to come out after 4 1/3 or 4 2/3, and you're not going to get the W next to your name. Does that still matter to you, or have you bought in enough where you kind of understand it?
Well, I've bought in enough to understand it, but I also feel that it is still the responsibility of what your job is as a starting pitcher to go out there and provide the team with the best opportunity to win. And I still don't think 4 2/3 is the way it's so tough to swallow. But I mean, in certain situations, yes, I can understand that, especially if you're in the postseason. When you're in the postseason, it's like, I'm going to give you whatever I can give you. And it's not my decision to come out of the game or stay in the game. I can put up my best argument I always feel that if there is a better in the postseason, you have to be unselfish. And if you feel that there is a better option in the bullpen and you understand that decision is being made, then you know it's being made for the best of the team and not selfishly for yourself as an individual. And that's something that's so difficult to kind of put your ego aside, put your, you know, pride aside and be like, okay, 4 2/3, whatever, 5 innings, 6 innings, whatever it is, even though you may feel that you have more in the tank, then, you know, you got to kind of just put your hands up and say, you know, something, you know, they know best. And it's kind of that team effort. And I also think the other side of it, Sweeney, is that coming into the league in 2005, if we look at veterans, back in 2005, this is just from, again, my experience, is that veterans were the analytics of today. So when you had a guy who had, you know, a Nephi Perez or Derek Lee, I'm just trying to think of some other guys, but just some other guys that, you know, they had the experience. Those guys were relied on more heavily than maybe the young guy that came up and was like, wait a minute, he's got, you know, now where we can quantify a lot of the player's abilities, or so to speak, abilities. They are now, you know, obviously back then, that's where the pitching change would be made, and or, you know, a pinch hitter would come in to hit or get the start for that game, because they say, well, you know, he may not have done, or you have a Tim Lincecum, for example, coming up, right? And nobody really knows him, but you might have another right-handed hitter who's got 10 or 12 years in the big leagues, and that's what's going to be leaned on more than saying, no, we need to go with a lefty who is, you know, a kid who's got maybe a year and a half or even just a brand new rookie in the league. That's where we would go now, as opposed to, you know, 2005 and 2006 up to, you know, at least up until 14 or 15, when everything started to really make waves in the change of analytics in the game.
So when you think about your World Series past here, you made three starts in a World Series and done very well, allowing only three runs. But as we just talked about, you've thrown three starts in a total of 15 innings. So yeah. You know, leash is kind of short here when you're thinking about what is the key, though, to you've had good success in your three starts.
Right.
And you talked about the, you know, the pressure of the amplified nature of each pitch. What is the key to making all of that come together on the mound and having a good performance in front of the world?
I think just thinking, you got to do a little bit of foresight and think about what are you going to remember in 10, 20 years down the line. And that, you know, really that's that you went for it. I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, putting all that, it kind of lets everything, fall to the floor, and you don't have to really worry about anything except for going out there and executing pitches with, you know, in a relentless intensity. And if you go out there with that mindset, you know, whatever the outcome is, you're still, it's going to keep you focused in on the moment. And that's something that, you know, I definitely reminded myself of before going in those games. I never really, you know, of course you think about, okay, the what ifs of that, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, what am I going to regret in 10 years? And you don't want to have any by, you know, simply going out there and attacking and making sure that you're aggressive with every throw that comes out of your hand. And then, you know, eventually after, you know, the first couple pitches come out of your hand, now all of a sudden, you know, the kind of everything settles down and you're pitching again. And the moments ebb and flow during the game, but you don't, you know, really get too high or get too low or go with the emotion of the game. In my opinion, I've always pitched, you know, I'd like to pitch like I'm a closer. So it's kind of, you know, that intensity is consistent throughout the, you know, however many pitches you're going to be out there for or innings. And, you know, at the end of it, again, what I said before is just that you can look back and say, you know, hey, it, whatever the score is, it went well or didn't went well, I threw the ball the way I wanted to. It came out of my hand the way I wanted to. And, you know, that's something that has, you know, for me, that's something that worked. And I think it's definitely something that a lot of guys would say the same.
So in the days leading up to game one, the organizations are pouring through a lot of information and it's infinitely more now than it was maybe, you know, even just 10 years ago. As a player, you're going out there to pitch a World Series game. Maybe you're not familiar with the opponent at all, let's say. How much of this information do you want? How, you know, you're pitching the biggest game of your career to that point, let's say, the biggest game of your life. Do you want all this information, or are you trying to keep it simpler to what you need to know?
Oh, absolutely keeping it simpler. That's it. I'm trying to do, you know, you're pitching to your strengths no matter what. And, you know, right there, you've already cut off whatever kind of anxiety that, you know, some scouting reports might bring, because you're going to get, you know, a desk or whatever, just a stack full of scouting reports and all sorts of percentages. And, you know, and it just depends on what you want to kind of use as well. And I think that's one thing that analytics has a great place in the game, as far as like, wow, this can really benefit us here and there. But, you know, when it comes to the biggest stage and the brightest lights of the World Series, it's really, you know, my best against your best. And that's it. And I think that, again, the other thing, I know that being, you know, having the good fortune to pitch in the World Series and sitting there and saying, okay, I'm going to pitch to my strengths, period. And in that, you know, it really takes away, again, a lot of the things that could be running through your mind as far as, you know, outcomes or how is this game going to go, or, you know, hoping that things will work out, as opposed to grabbing the ball and just going out there, being athletic, being a pitcher and staying aggressive. That's the biggest thing. I always talk about being aggressive, having passion, bringing that intensity, you know, every time that you get an opportunity to go out there and pitch. And it's no different, in the situation of the World Series than it is in 162. It's just, if you can, you practiced it for, I mean, I'm sure Charlie and Valdez, they've probably made, you know, I don't know, let's just say 30 plus starts this year. So they've been doing it, you know, all year, and they've had the ability, you know, the couple starts that they've had in the postseason already. Cause you know, you know what the nerves are going to feel like. But again, it's just the practice has gone into it. Now it's just, here it is, hit it.
All right. So the Atlanta Braves are a team that you saw a lot in the second half after going over to the Mets. As they entered the postseason, Rich, they were not the hottest team. That was the Cardinals.
Right.
They were not
right.
The best team. That was the Giants or the Dodgers right. or the Brewers.
Yeah.
Yet here they are, the last ones standing. What did you see watching them play over the last 2 weeks that got them here?
Yeah, and, you know, we played them the last series of the year. We won the first game, and I was kind of like, geez, this is the team that's, you know, they won the division. This is okay. We're, you know, as far as I'm concerned, on paper, we were just as good as they were. But, again, you could see – the team coming together. And I remember running into Jock Peterson at the hotel right after he got traded and right after I got traded to the Mets. And it was just funny just running into him, because we didn't know what was going to happen. We had no idea, you know, obviously new teams and just kind of flying by the seat of our pants a little bit with getting traded. But to be able to see the way that team has come together, you know, I think a lot of it too, you hear Freddie Freeman. So I think he's been a huge voice in that clubhouse, especially with another guy, you know, Charlie Morton, who's pitching game one. So something that, you know, and then we end up the next three games, we end up losing in that four game series, but it was something that, you know, was interesting, because they just continued to keep fighting no matter what. It was the end of the year. They had already clinched the division. You know, you might say they were meaningless games, but not, you know, you could tell not for the Braves this year. And definitely the way I think Max Fried has thrown the ball has been, you know, obviously very good during the regular season. He's been good during the postseason. He's had some great moments, and that's going to be a little bit of an X factor, I think, going into the World Series is how Max kind of, you know, carries the torch for the next start.
I feel like, you know, back when we were growing up, the Braves were America's team because they were on TBS,
yeah.
Right? They were on TV all the time, and everybody and they became good in the 90s, and everybody watched them around the country. I have a feeling they have more fans in this World Series simply because the Astros are carrying a lot of baggage with them.
Sure.
And, you know, you were one of the aggrieved parties. You know, you're on the Dodgers in 2017 and the Astros win that World Series. And I remember going back, you know, two spring trainings ago now, when we asked a lot of people about it, it was the pitchers and the catchers who felt the most anger, I thought, because, you know, to use the same phrase, the pitchers and the catchers are the aggrieved parties when you're talking about stealing signs, right?
So yeah.
Somebody came into your house and robbed you. You're watching the Astros, and we've already talked about how likable Dusty Baker is and how much everybody loves him, but Are the Astros unlikable to you as a player, an active player, and one who was taken advantage of by them?
Yeah, I think that one thing, Sweeney, when I think about it, is they're human beings. I know it's easy to sit there in the moment and be frustrated, angered, and kind of robbed. As you said, I think that's something that, back in 2017 and then 18, or, you know, when all the kind of things were developing, but at the same time, I feel, the human side of it, and watching the guys coming up to the plate and getting booed, and, continuously kind of reminded every single day for 162 of, something that happened that they've, they continue to hear and pay for it, I guess, in a certain sense, from the different venues that they've been going to. So I don't know. I do have I think my stance is kind of, softened over the years, and it's almost, just something that, the team is very talented with the Astros. They've been very talented over the last 5 years. Yeah. I think that, you had a group of guys in 2017 that were young, very influential, and unfortunately kind of just, fell to, something that, will be around forever in baseball and be a story in baseball that, will be continued to tell over the decades, and forewarning, I think, for other teams not to, go as far as the organization did in Houston in 17. So I think it's something that, you go so far in one direction. Okay. now we're back in the middle where there's still, relaying signs from second base, location and stuff like that, which is, obviously another challenge, I think, for us as pitchers to, continuously, be on top of that cat and mouse game and understand that you got to switch your signs up. You got to be able to, kind of have a little bit more of a Houdini act out there as far as throwing the runner on second base off, so he's maybe not relaying the correct sign to the hitter. So, but that'll be something that's interesting too, because I know a lot of teams are, on top of that stuff. They combat it. They also practice it. And they also, try to and that stuff to me is part of the game. I don't think I'll ever, be on the side of, when if I'm out there and I'm calling, I'm using the same signs for the whole game or even more than one game, then, that's on me. I got to be a little bit more savvy and understand. That's why now you're starting to see guys with cards, they're pulling them out of the back pocket or out of their hat and continuously switching up signs with different, different numbers and trying to keep that edge. So, I think it's going to be a great World Series. I pulling for a lot of guys on both teams and I think it's going to be exciting.
And I know there's a feel good element to one of these guys that I don't know if you have a personal connection with, but I have a feeling that you have a lot of energy towards him. Tyler Matzek is a guy who 2 years ago is pitching the independent ball, and mm-hmm. You've run that route. You've gone to independent ball, made it back to the big leagues. 2 years ago, he's pitching independent ball, and here he is, a big reason why the Braves are going to the World Series. He's pitching big spots, big innings. I think there's quite a good feel-good element to his story there. How much do you kind of relate to what he's able to do in the spot?
Yeah, it's just, again, to your point, it's a feel-good story, and it's amazing to see, a guy come back and go through the grinder of independent ball and then get the opportunity to come back and now on the biggest stage in the game. So I think that's something that a testament to his will of continuing on in the game and not giving up. I think that's one thing that, having that kind of just the persistence that it shows. That's one thing that, for me is I've never wanted to do anything else or not play the game. Even when, you're repeating A ball again or something, somewhere down the line where it's just like, okay, it was always a continuously you know, I'm going to play next year. I don't know where it's going to be. Or, you know, you continue to work and you put in the work, you put in the time and the effort, and it definitely comes out, you know, and shows itself on the field when you do that. And when you, it just goes to show you what happens when you're prepared, you know? And I think that's one thing that obviously he's showing now and is reaping the benefits of it.
All right. So how do you think this series goes? And we're going to talk later as this thing gets going here. But, I'm almost looking at the Braves as a team where I kind of look at, say, the Royals in 2014 when they ran into the Giants. And here's a team that really wasn't great in the regular season, but they had themselves a run and they're a young team. So, you know, versus a team like the Astros, who are a lot like that Giants team. I think they have some guys who have been there. They have some veterans and they have, this might be like the last bit of run here. They've already lost Springer. They've already lost Cole, Verlander, maybe, probably. Correa is a free agent. So this group here doesn't have a lot of time left here, Rich, and it might be
right.
Chance, Carlos Correa is doing it's my time. It might be their time to put a more legitimate stamp on who they are because everyone's still questioning 17. And I feel like maybe, and on top of all that, Rich, just watching baseball, they're just hard to get out. They're hard hitters to get out. And I feel like they have that distinct advantage and have, I don't want to say easy win. I'd like to see this go 6 or 7, but I feel like the Astros win this series. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I give the definitely game one to Houston, it being at home. They get to play in front of their, their home fans. I think that's always, it's always an advantage in the postseason because of the intensity of the environment and the crowd noise. And, it's something that going into a or pitching in an opposing team's arena has been something that's proven out to be, successful for, especially with the fans of Houston. They're going to be loud. It's going to be if the roof is closed, it's going to be extra loud. I feel, again, game one goes to Houston just because of that. And especially if Valdez pitches the way he did, half as good as he did when he pitched, game five against the Red Sox, they're going to be in a good position. But also on the other side, you get Charlie Morton, who is, one of the best in the game and has been through, his own ups and downs and has pitched well in the postseason and in the World Series. So he's somebody that I think there's going to be a lot of ground balls. I think tonight. That's the one thing we're going to see. I'm looking at the Houston Astros lineup and with Altuve, Bregman, Correa and Gurriel, the way that those guys have been swinging the bat, especially Alvarez. I mean, it's going to come down to starting pitching and depending upon who can give you, in the first couple games, the most innings out of that rotation is going to save the bullpen for, I don't want to say there. Every game is so meaningful and every pitch is so meaningful. But once you start getting down to, okay, hey, we're down 2-1 or we're up 2-1 or the series is tied 2-2, the games that are really, really going to make or break the series is going to come from the bullpen later on in the series. And be able to have those guys fresh at the end, I think, is going to be something that's going to, be more in favor of that team. But again, I really do like the Braves lineup with Austin Riley. I think he's, in my opinion, was one of the best players throughout the league this entire year. Rosario, the way he's come on and really been the postseason kind of surprise, as we talked about, where you don't know where that's going to come from. But again, his ability to be able to just put the bat on the ball and put the ball in play. It's not, during the season, I was looking up at, whoever we would play and you'd see, okay, we got 10, 12, 13 strikeouts. And that was almost on a nightly basis, throughout the league. And you're thinking, geez, if you could just cut that down to like 7 or 8 as an organization, you're giving yourself, the more times you can put the ball in play, it doesn't matter if it's on the ground or in the air, you're just giving yourself a chance. And that's again, going to be a huge factor in this postseason. Who can just kind of, relax, see the strike zone, and execute a swing, and, you know, pull the trigger. And it's the same thing with starters who can, again, just attack, as I said before, continue to stay with your approach that's worked for you, and you know, throw strikes. Don't walk, don't, no free passes. I think that's a huge, obviously every base runner is huge. Every pitch is huge. Every, you know, ground ball is going to be double play. Anything that's going to create more of a, what you'd see in a regular season, that's a free and easy play. There's a little bit more tightness to it. So the team that can stay the loosest is going to be, I think, going to be in a really good position. And the other side of it, I was going to say, is I feel that maybe Atlanta, you know, underperformed a little bit this year at certain stages. Mm-hmm. I think that they slumped in a time, you know, kind of before I get over there, before I get to the Mets, they kind of slumped in a time where they were trying to do too much. There was so much expected, I think, of that team going into this season. And they were trying to live up to maybe expectations as opposed to, you know, just relaxing and playing their game and knowing that, you know, hey, we don't have to, Austin Riley doesn't have to hit, you know, a 5-run home run, or Freddie Freeman doesn't have to, you know, bat 390. So once all the, I think once those guys started to come into their own a little bit, or not into their own, but back to who they are, then you started to see the Atlanta Braves team that probably should have seen for most of the year, but here they are in the World Series. So I don't think that's a surprise at all.
17 years in the big leagues, your expert analysis, it really is something to listen to here. And I hope people appreciate that. And we're going to do this again, maybe in a week as we get going to the series. Thanks for joining me here, Rich.
Yeah, Sweeney, thank you for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
This is the WFAN Baseball Insiders. He's Rich Hill. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Remember to subscribe at Odyssey, at Apple Podcasts. You'll get these delivered right to you. My Yankees reports, Ed Coleman's Mets reports come right to you, as well as conversations like this as we break down the postseason and going into the offseason, whatever various issues have on, and special guests along the way. My thanks to Rich Hill. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.